all right, after a brief hiatus, we now return back to our dissertation and ministering. Everyone take out your document, and for our visitors, we say welcome, as we also welcome those that are joining us by way of the webcast. Take your documents, ushers, see that our visitors have copies of those excerpts. I think it's some back on the shelf. Amen. Everyone repeat after me. On the shelf, on the shelf. Scripture comprehensions of measures, the matrix. Everybody.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures,
the matrix. Let's go into our document to page 19 again. What we are comparing or juxtaposing is matrix viewing, a viewing in the world versus scripture viewing. There are two ways to view life, as we call life in the world. Mm-hmm. True life is eternal life.
Yes, sir. Yes,
we have not really experienced true life yet.
Yes.
What we are going through is testimonial of God's purpose in establishing and documenting what He has done in our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have this privilege this morning through the grace contract, the grace covenant, to look into the matrix, but not from within the matrix. When you look into the world from within the world, you are looking around. When you look into the matrix from eternity, from the vantage point and view of eternal viewing, then you are looking at it from the scriptures. When you're looking at it from the scriptures, you are looking down on this life instead of around in this life. There is a great advantage of looking down instead of around. When you're looking around, all you can see are the things that you are experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking down, you have a panoramic, what we call an overview, of seeing the greatness of God. Oh my God, we can't even fathom the things that God has prepared.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul writes in one place, he says, eyes haven't seen, now ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men, those things God has prepared for those that love Him. But then it goes on, keep reading. But He has revealed them unto us. Where are they? They're right here in the Word. So you have to be in the right part of the Bible. The grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant. The mystery. Everybody said the mystery. These are the writings that gives illumination, that these writings give illumination of the gloriousness of our inheritance. The essence of life that transcends our day-to-day going through the motion as we function in the process. But we're on a journey. We're moving through.
Right. Right. Yes. Amen.
Hmm? We're not fixed. We're not stationary.
No.
This is why, regardless of what you encounter and what problem you may be having this morning, amen, the encouraging thing is that it's temporary.
Temporary.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
In comparison to forever, amen, what we're going through now is like taking a teaspoon of water and dropping it in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh,
it's quick.
Amen.
This is why Paul, in the 17th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, speak to the troubles and trials of our life as being momentary.
Momentary.
He calls them light. Why are they light? They're light because they're quick. Oh my God, hallelujah. If I got to go through all of this to get to where I'm going, amen, let's go. us. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go back again, and I know someone by now is saying, well, Pastor, my God, we've been on this one verse for a month. Amen. There's at least one more nugget I need to drop out of it. I know I said that last time. Maybe. Yeah. Each time as we look at this, amen, the Holy Spirit shows us something in relationship to it. The 8th chapter of Romans, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. We're in that section of page 19. That's entitled on the previous page, Inconsecutiveness of Emergences in Physical Secular Measures, the Matrix. Here we're talking about the framework of the things that we see and that we encounter and we experience, and many things confuse us. So why do we have to go through this? Why is this happening? Why didn't this happen another way? Could this have happened another way? So forth. Then some people begin to even question God. They said, maybe he's not a good planner, a good designer. Then some said, man, maybe he doesn't have the power. They won't say it that way. They'll say, well, God has nothing to do with that. Amen. As though he made the universe, and then after he got through, he stepped back and said, well, it's up to you all as to what happens from here. No. My God. He is a designer and a planner. He is a perfecter.
Yes, he is.
Of all that is. And so we can't look in life and look into the thing that we are involved in, regardless of how challenging it might be. We can't look into that and see that as an end within itself. The purpose lies beyond that. The purpose transcends the process of what we're going through. And so this is what Paul writes in another place. He said, I have learned to be what? Content. Now, that word there goes far beyond, and they use the lesser terminology of content. Amen. Actually, Paul said, I've learned to be enthused. Not just content. I've learned to be, amen, enthused, what? In whatever state I'm from. In whatever is going on, I'm enthused. Whatever's going on, I'm happy. Whatever's going on, I'm encouraged because I know that he who is in me, he's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who is in the world. And so I'm a winner, not a loser. I'm a victor, not a victim. And somebody said, Pastor, you're crazy. You don't know what I'm going through and this, that, and that, so forth and so on. Listen, we got to transcend above the day-to-day, moment-by-moment encounters and things that we interface in life. And see the big picture. The big picture. Most of us look around, and what we're in, we think what we're going through is all the picture. No. I mean, what was happening before you got here? History tells us that a whole lot happened before we got here. And so life is more than just what my situation is. And this is not to lessen our situations. But this is, amen, to give God the praise and the glory for his master plan. But I don't know what his master plan is. It is right here. In his word. In his word. God has not hid it from us. Now, it was hid from ages until he revealed it to a man. Let's say we live in the grace dispensation. And in this dispensation, that which was hid from ages is now revealed. And so we know things that the prophets didn't know. We know things that the kingdom apostles didn't know. Because now we can see life and we can focus on life from eternity rather than time. We prioritize where we live, and that's important. Who our families are, and that's important. And where we work, and that's important. What our health is or isn't, and that's important. But it's not the most important thing. What is the most important thing? We have eternal life in Christ Jesus. God help us not to have to transition out of these bodies. Wake up in the arms of Jesus to finally realize what he's done for us. But it's great to know now, so we can rejoice in the God of our salvation now, that no matter what is happening, I can say I have joy unspeakable and full of glory because what he's already done for me. Oh my God, hallelujah. Problem is, we're so transfixed into the now, we have no appreciation of the future. But what is the future? The future is you have eternal relationship with God. Eternal. Everlasting. Oh my God. What we experience and what we associate it with now, it can't touch. It can't touch the essence of those things that God has prepared for us. Amen. But Deacon, let's start reading at the 35th verse this morning. Go to the end of that chapter. Then we're going to pick out a couple of nuggets. And then I guess we'll finally be able to leave this. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Call your scripture.
We're reading from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning the 35th verse, King James Version. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress?
Distress?
Or persecution?
Persecution?
Or famine?
A famine?
Or nakedness?
A nakedness?
Or peril?
A peril?
Or sword?
A sword. Now, that's a lot, isn't it? That's about everything depraved creation can throw at you. And as we were looking at the video in the conference, they were talking about seven things that could wipe us off the earth. Any one of them could do it. Any one of these things that he just read can wipe you out. But that's speaking in terms of the processes of life. But the process doesn't control. The purpose controls the process. Not the process controls the purpose. What God's purpose is in it. Our focus must be on him and his will.
That's right.
And his plan. His purpose. We don't really have one within ourselves. We function at the and live and move, and we are at the pleasure of God. As I told somebody a few weeks ago, I said, listen, you're on God's dime. You're breathing because he just gave you your last breath. And you got to give it back to him. And then he has to give you the next one. But then you got to give that one back to him. Then he has to give you the next one. Then you have to give that back to him. At some point, you don't get the next breath. But you know what? Amen. Oh, my God. Sometimes we look at these scriptures, and if you don't really, really abide in the scriptures and understand the essence of spirituality, you would think that this is crazy. Paul said to die is gain. What is gain? That's profit. What is he talking about? You see?
Yes, he did.
What we are going through now, and you know, end of this year, December 21st, 2012. What did they predict? Again.
End of the world.
End of the world.
Again.
Now, I wouldn't stand here this morning and participate in no debate on that. What I would do is go to the scripture and let you know that if you're saved, salvation means safe. Salvation means deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
What does that transmit to? The fact that you're in Christ. You say, no, I'm in the world. I'm sitting here this morning here at Grace Gospel Church. That's in your bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where are you? Those who are in Christ were what? In Christ, we're new creations. Yes, in Christ. In Christ. Third chapter, third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul speaks about the spiritual blessings. Where? In the heavenlies. Where are the heavenlies? In Christ. This world is not our home. As we're just passing through.
Amen.
The gloriousness of our inheritance are there reserved for us.
Yeah.
And what gets me is it's the church and we ministers. We have to take a little, challenge for that. Especially in the modern age ministry.
Right. Modern age.
We don't talk about heaven until we get to a home going.
Mm-hmm.
And certain passages, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they don't even go there until they get to a home going. That's not a funeral message. That is a living message.
Mm-hmm.
The essence of who you are should be a working factor in your conscious and in your countenance every day. Who you are in Christ defines who you are forever. Who you are in these bodies only define you for a very short period. Now all of those things are challenges that he just read in that 35th verse. None of those would be factors in the essence of eternality. Now let's see how he handles them. And you know what? Either these words in the Bible are true, or it's all a sham.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wasting time being here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not true, let's just tear them out of the... Just tear all these pages out. And get out here, and what you see is what you get, what you see is what you have, and what you see is the only thing that you can look forward to. You might as well just eat, drink, and be married, because tomorrow we die. That's all of us. Through a thing sometimes with the young people, and I've gone through it with some of my grandkids. Time I pick a year. I pick a certain year, and I said 2060. And they go, wow. And some of them say, depending upon their age, I'll be an old person by then. So yeah, like a grandparent. If you're still around. And then I say, what do you think I would be? And they look at me all sheepish, because nobody wants to say, hey, you. I say, I will be where I've always been and never left. Know that illustration that we had on the PowerPoint? That man was in the mind and heart and thought of God, right? Then it flashed to earth where it showed him going through the process of life. And then that wound up and he left there and went back, but that was just mirrored. He never left where he was. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he chose us in him, when? When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. What is it? Before the foundation of the world, we don't understand. You don't have to be afraid of life when you understand what life is. Your life is Christ. Your life is your eternal existence in him. Your life transcends what we call life in this sphere. Your life is already set in him. And your conscience is just moving through the frames of time. And you reach the point where you're not in the next frame. Your conscience now, my God, reunites with the God of your salvation. I've told this story before. It's an experience. It's true. In the other church, some of us might remember going, those that was really in there a long time back, Deacon Eddie Channel. He was a man who was working on a boiler one day, and it blew up in his face. Disfigured him. And they had to make him something that resembles a face as much as they could. He had no eye sockets. He had no nose. I had to learn to look at him. You know how it is. But I learned to look at him and love him. More important than that, I learned some great lessons from him. When he would come through the church door, he would come through, and he was, of course, without no eyes, no eye sockets. You know, he was blind. He'd come in the door singing a hymn, many of the hymns that we sing now. There was always joy when he'd give his testimony. If you didn't know the circumstance and wasn't looking at him, you would think that he had everything going in a certain way as they preach in the prosperity churches. And one time I heard him say, he said, "I'm so glad that boiler blew up in my face. I'm a young man, and that really got my attention." He said, "Because you didn't know me before then. I was proud. I thought I was the happiest man in the world, and all my focus was on me." He said, "But since that boiler blew up in my face, I don't focus on me no more. All my focus is on him."
Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And the essence of his life is, I remember when he went into a coma for 6 months. And he came back and he gave the testimony. He said, "Y'all gonna think I'm crazy, but I don't care."
Oh, glory.
He said, "You don't know the joy that there is in being in Christ." He said, "I never experienced so much joy, so much peace." And he said, "I can't hardly wait to get back with my Lord." And that always stuck with me. But these scriptures bear it out. When they speak of the joy of life. And there's a certain amount of happiness that we have. But they're all short-lived. Here this is talking about everlasting, eternal joy and peace. Now, one good thing about the things that he read in verse 35. The best thing about those things is that they don't last. Whatever is in life, it doesn't last.
That's right.
It changes.
It changes. That's
The bad things.
Yes.
The good about the bad is that it changes. Whatever it is, it changes. Read that verse 36.
Now verse 36.
Mm-hmm.
As it is written.
And that's Psalms 44:22. Mm-hmm.
For thy sake, we are killed all the day long.
Okay, for whose sake? For God's sake. You have to go back. That is a quote. Many have preached that he was talking about this is for the Romans' sake. No. Those that he was ministering, it was for his their sake. No. He was quoting. And, when he says, for your sake or thy sake, he was talking about the Lord. And so here in quoting him, he would have to be talking about what David was talking about.
All right.
Uh-huh. All right. Read, for your sake, what?
We are killed all the day long.
Now, see, that doesn't really bring it in there, and we have been through this, and I won't get where I'm going, because you see the time is really moving. But there's a passive voice in there that speak of pre-assignment. The things, listen to me, the things that you go through, they were pre-assigned to you.
Oh, yeah. Preach.
They were pre-assigned, whatever.
Whatever.
It was pre-assigned to you.
Oh, yeah.
God has individual plans for our lives. He has a plan for each one of us.
Yeah.
But that plan is according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Not for our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
For his purpose.
Yeah.
Your living is unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Your dying is unto him.
Yeah. Glory.
Yeah. Romans 14:7. Whether we live, it is to him. Whether we die, it is to him.
Glory.
We belong to the Lord.
Yeah. 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 Glory to God.
God's got us covered.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's our problem. As we go through life, we want to dictate to God what he should do. I don't ever see anybody successfully dictated to God anything. In fact, what when God actualized everything, he did it in eternity. There wasn't anybody even around to confer with. I mean, the color of your skin, the race that you was born into, the gender, your parents, what city, country you were born in, what age you were born in, who you married, who your kids were. You didn't control any of that. Everything that has happened to you in life, it wasn't, well, if I had done this, this wouldn't have happened, and so forth. But no. What did that verse say again?
For your sake. For
thy
sake.
Uh-huh, what?
We are killed all the day long.
Okay, he is speaking to the end of those things that he was going through for God's sake.
God's sake.
Passive voice. The troubles, I'm going through for his sake. God's drawing testimonies out of our lives. He is pre-assigned testimonies for our lives. Another occasion, Paul spoke of infirmity that he had. He said, I went to the Lord three times. And I asked the Lord to remove that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul, leave that thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, I will much rather glory in tribulation.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Lord let him know. He said, Paul, when you are weak, then I am strong. Oh, my God.
Right. Right.
My strength is magnified
yes.
through your weakness. My strength is magnified through your sickness.
Glory.
about that sometimes. For all the ailments I've got, I take some 7 different medicines a day. And I look sometimes the advertisements of their saying this of all of the panaceas that are out there that is going to make you healthier. And I'm not saying process wise, hey, you know, doctor prescribes something, you take it. You're not dependent upon it. You're not even dependent upon getting well to be happy. And I'm going to be happy. You are happy in Jesus alone. Without anything else. The essence of life is in Him. Keep reading.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things.
No.
We, in all these things.
In these things what?
We are more than conquerors.
Let's go to the Greek on that.
Oh, yes. Reading Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Interlinear Greek text. But in these things all.
In all these things, in each and every one of these things, what?
We overconquer. Through the having loved us, or the one
through
having
him
loved us.
Having loved us, what are you talking about? Now, most when they read that, they teach that God's going to come along and He's going to heal you. And I pray that He does too, but He might not. God's going to come and He's going to bless you. You're going through financial trouble, but relief is right down the road. Amen. And the next day you have to declare bankruptcy. Now you're confused. When He's speaking about overcoming, He's not talking about in a physical sense that God's going to deliver you from some particular trial. Paul carried his infirmity all the way to Nero's chopping block. What is he speaking of? He's speaking of your position as a member of the body of Christ, fully delivered, fully free, fully blessed. Oh, y'all hear me? Why doesn't he just free me down here? When you look into the essence and your mind is renewed through the enlightenment of his word, you are free. You are free. He freed you in eternity. The fact that you are in him, you are free. The essence of who you are, you're free. I know that that's not the kind of preaching you want to hear, and the churches are falling into that. You know, 5 ways how to do this, get your health, so forth and so on, and they form the paralyzer, so forth and so on. And we pray for anyone here, but you know, somebody needs to stop and check what is God's agenda.
Yeah, please.
Again, Paul prayed 3 times. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. In other words, I'm not going to remove that ailment.
No way.
Because my purpose is that I'm going to be glorified in that ailment. Somebody needs to be checking with God as to what He wants. When we go into prayer, don't be so transfixed on what we want that we don't check to see what God wants. How do you do that? You never close a prayer. Lord, what?
Lord,
your will is done.
Yes.
Your will is done. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Sure.
Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Or this cup past me.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, what?
Yes.
Not my will. Your will. No, you're not going to hear this because they figured the preachers, they are all intimidated and they figured you're not going to like them saying that. And I want to be liked. I want my message to be enjoyed. The truth of the matter is what God has planned is better than what I'm asking for. I let this sink in.
Yes.
But God has decreed works for you, not against you.
No.
I let that sink in a minute.
Oh, glory. Thank God.
So now he can go on. Let's go to the next verse.
Verse 38.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8 chapter. For I am persuaded.
For I have been persuaded when you go to the Greek. Mm-hmm. Read.
That neither death.
And he starts out with the most extreme one, right?
Right.
Or so we think.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next one?
Nor life.
Stop. The reason we can't deal with death is because we can't deal with life.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is the toughest to deal with? Life.
Mm-hmm.
Of what we call life.
Yes. Yes.
Now he gets into the details. Read.
Mm-hmm. Nor angels.
Uh-huh.
Nor principalities.
Uh-huh.
Nor powers.
Uh-huh.
Nor things present.
Things that are happening right now.
Nor things to come.
Or things that's out there that I don't know what's going to come. So, well, I don't know what's next. He threw that in there too. And then he ran out of things.
Nor height.
Uh-huh.
Nor depth.
Uh-huh.
Nor any other in creation.
No, after he had gone through everything he could think of, he said, not anything else. Not anything else.
Mm-hmm.
In creation.
In creation.
Here's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
None of this can do what?
Shall be able
mm-hmm.
to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Say it again. Shall be able.
Shall be able.
To do what?
To separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
That's the bottom line. It cannot separate me
mm-hmm.
from God.
Mm-hmm.
He was said, all of that's bad, but the worst thing that out there can't happen to me. And that is to be separated from the love of God.
Oh.
God.
Yes. Yes.
Finish it up, Brother Deacon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to our document. Our time is almost gone in. Well, I'm going to try to get away from out of this verse today, if I can. Let's go to page 19. To the bottom there, where it says the popularity of physicality, secularity. You see that? Page 19, the bottom, says the popularity of physicality, secularity. Everybody got that? Amen.
Amen.
The popularity of physicality, secularity suggestions, in their articulations of controls, they split resistance as observations the majority desires, according to the sense that they've been playing roles in this vast formulas of occasionally consoling the perceptions of creature control. We just dealt with all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we're involved in, and because we figure we can't control and we can't have things a certain way, so forth and so on, that throws us off.
Mm-hmm.
says package rebellions. Everybody said package rebellions. On the matrix, demonstrate realization that nothing can be sustained for long without becoming depressed and irreclaimableness. That is, you know, if your warranty runs out, your washer, your dryer, your automobile, you go back to the dealer, and there's nothing to reclaim. You go to the laundry about 5 years later, you got a ticket. You put something in the laundry. Mm-hmm. What will they tell you? It's gone. That's the way everything is in this life. Mm-hmm. You don't walk around with a ticket that you can cash in. Mm-hmm. Not in this life. That's not what God has designed for this life. Mm-hmm. But he never takes away or he never denies you anything without giving you something better.
Amen. Amen.
But we got to understand what is better.
Mm-hmm. Come on, God. Amen. That's right.
There's nothing powerfully, invigoratingly, or energetically energizing about imagining, especially in what might signify to absorb the dismal pill of reality on a regular basis or to weather its inevitable storms. What we're seeing there, there's anything encouraging about fantasizing. No, we're sitting up in these ministries and they're telling you, you're going to get this and you're going to get that. Lord, God doesn't want you to be broke. Then why are you broke? Well, the devil, you see, like, okay, so God wants you to be rich, so he has no control of the fact that you don't have. No. You are where God has placed you. You are who God has made you. If you are who he has made you, then you are where he has placed you for his purpose. And so the inevitable storms of life, don't be complaining. The essence of life is not about what I faced yesterday, what I'm going through today, and what I'm facing tomorrow. The essence of life transcends the things that are around us. Look at limits of its measuring bubble, consistently yet transitory break through its skeletally veneer plane. And so as we see this, we come back to this 37th verse as we have exegeted it here, as we go into the home stretch. So in all of these things, we're more than conquer. We're more than conquer through the one who has loved us. Here, the potential of what are exhibited is comparatively expressed. We have what we call a superordinate, a strong adverse conjunction, all rendered but. In emphasizing contrast between what is viewed in the secular physical measures, that is the matrix, versus the overwhelming victory actualized in eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions. I hear God has placed me in the body of Christ.
Never.
For testimony's sake, for his glory. He assigns certain things in my life.
Right.
Here we have a life that is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And we have eternal life, which is eternal. Which one of these are the most valuable?
No.
The temporary or the eternal?
Eternal?
So if he assigns me in the temporary realm something that goes to for his glory, that will be evident in glorious expression in eternity. Am I going to argue with these little few days? This is what Pastor Paul was talking about. He said, glory in my tribulation. What's that said in the 5th chapter of Romans? Hold that a minute and let's go to the 5th chapter of Romans right quick. We're speak about tribulation, work, and patience, and take experience and hope. You know, you would think that Paul was maybe high on something when he's writing this. I mean, if you're looking strictly through the lens of physicality, you would think Paul was high on something. Because this doesn't make sense. I'm in this situation and I want out of it.
Amen.
Go to that, what is that, the first or the second verse there? Mm-hmm. All right, start reading, brother. You can call your scripture.
I'm reading from the 5th chapter of Romans. And beginning at the second verse, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
By the faithfulness of Christ into what?
Into this grace.
Into this grace. In what grace? In the grace of God, that is the favor of God.
Wherein we stand.
Wherein we, right now where we are in the favor of his grace. And I almost go through the roof when I hear the prosperity preachers taking that and saying that there's a promotion waiting for you out there. There's a money waiting for you. Or there's something, you know. That's not. Here Paul is speaking about our position in Christ. What about your position in Christ? What does that mean to you? It means everything. Because that's the eternal dwelling place. Versus whatever is going on now is temporary. Mm-hmm. Read.
And rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Rejoice in what?
Hope.
In the hope that is in the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see how he is eternally focused.
Sure.
And he's prioritizing that over time.
Sure.
Keep reading.
Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also.
So how are you going to be glorying in tribulations? Because that's in the temporary mode of time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glorying in it because my focus is beyond it.
That's it.
You can glory in it because your hope,
mm-hmm.
your aspiration is beyond it. Read.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Tribulation worketh patience.
And patience experience.
Experience.
And experience hope.
That should bring about hope. Oh, not hope that I'm going to be delivered in the sense that, and of course, God has given us, amen, the privilege and right to petition him in that vein. But beyond that, that may be our immediate petition, but our choice petition, oh my God, our ultimate petition is his will is done.
Yes.
Whatever your will is, Lord.
Glory to God. Praise.
Jesus went to Calvary. And this testimony there is, Lord, your will.
Your
will. I said, well, I don't know. That might have been the devil that did that. Oh, you saying the devil killed Jesus? Everything that occurs is according to God's will.
Everything.
Human, let somebody suffer? Did Jesus suffer? Was Jesus suffering not according to the will of God? Oh, God help us to think. Who's in control of the universe anyway?
God
is. God controls the universe. Everything that happens, a fly doesn't wiggle his left wing unless God has ordered it. A leaf doesn't fall from the tree in the forest, and it doesn't matter whether anybody sees it or not. God ordered it. And that's why it manifests. All right, let me finish there. Give me about 3 or 4 more minutes, and then I'm down for the day. In fact, we're going to leave this section today and this verse. In that 37th verse, the 8th chapter of Romans, let's go back there. We have a Greek verb there, epinikomene, which is translated, we more than conquer. Go back to the document. We more than conquer. It's derived from the preposition epar, prefixed to the word nixo. Basically, it's literally denoting to be super victorious, to hyper conquer, abundantly prevail over everything. And that's an eternal realm of who you are. I was talking to the young people some years ago, and I was telling them about, so where would I be in 2060 or 2070? Where have I always been?
Always.
I'll be in a position of victory.
That's it.
But that's where I am now.
That's right.
In a position of victory.
Glory to God.
Because who I am in Christ is more important,
more
real, more impactful. Than who I am walking around in this vile body full of pain. Let's finish the document. What might contend in measures, listen, what might contend in the matrix, what might contend in life is not more than the actualized state of eternal functioning. Here we have the Greek expression, theotou agapisando imas, which is rendered through the one who loved us.
Yes.
Who are we talking about? God. When did he love you? In eternity. Now here I'm going to be complaining about what I'm going through in time, and here God loved me before time. How do I know he loved before time? He put you in the body of Christ.
That's right.
Our problem is we have reduced salvation to some process in the local assembly of a person coming down and making some gesture, doing something, and you know that's about all we see it. He loved you and put you in him, chose you before he ever encapsulated you in these bodies. You were created to the specification of God's love.
Yes.
You were created a vessel of mercy, a vessel of love, a vessel of grace.
That's right.
Oh my God, help us to appreciate who we are so we can give you the praise and the glory in all things. The matrix languages. This is how we see things and express things. Describe the manifest scope, yet not, we have the Greek word there, platos, which they render breadth, but it's actual purpose, or extent. It shows the scope of things you're going through, but it doesn't give you the purpose. In other words, we're abiding in the process. And we'll interpret things through the process. We come to conclusions based upon what we see. But it is the purpose of God that gives the glory. So the actualized purpose abides beyond its confinement. This speaks of the follow me here. About 5 lines or 6 lines and we're down. This speaks of the restricted flow multi-reason functioning in the human mind and the preponderance of employing depraved nature's outlandish articulations of unsubstantiated illusions. In other words, get out of the process as far as trying to figure out what is happening. There's a song we sing sometimes, "Look and Live, Look and Live." It's recorded in His Word, "Look and Live." So to know what's going on, don't look into the situation, look into the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's where we find our answers. And here it says, however, the sheer vastness and superbly effective spiritual dimension is solely the determinant that controls what manifests in God's actualized extent of purpose. Listen to this as we close. There are no indisputable sources availing in the matrix allegories of what certainly convey impressions that are often warmed by the fires of delusions misconceived in his concepts. Here's where we're going. The eternal purpose. Everybody say eternal purpose.
The eternal purpose
of being. In fact, let's say the eternal purpose of being. Say it again. The eternal purpose of being. The eternal purpose of your being. The eternal purpose of your life. The eternal purpose of being extracts its motivation far beyond repressive mechanisms of nature's limitations as its commoditization. You know what we're talking about. Well, if not, here it is. The process by which something reaches a point in its development where such has no feature that differentiates it from others. In other words, that thing is evolving. And what we're saying, when we're looking through the scriptures and we focus on the eternal purpose, what does it exhibit? It exhibits, I'm reading it again, the extent of what its boundaries borrow for ability in its many words of instances in measures, that is, in the matrix. In other words, when we look to the eternal purpose, it draws us and takes us out of time. It takes us out of our many trials. It takes us out beyond the confinements of what we're interfacing. It takes us beyond the trials by night. The snares of the day. The imposing, menacing things that trouble us. It relieves us. It releases us. Oh my God. Can you just lean on Him this morning and trust Him to know that all that He has done, He does it well. He does it well. And our focus and our aim and aspiration is in the essence of our eternal existence that we're in right now. And this is what we focus on. This is what we trust in. This is what we look to. Amen. This is our aspiration. This is the aim. This is where God has placed us. Beyond the avenues of those things. Because one day, I'm going to take off mortality. I'm going to put on immortality. One day, I'm going to take off finality. I'm going to put on eternity. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. I'm going to be caught up. Can you say caught up? Can you say caught up? Can you really say caught up? To me, I'm in the air. Oh, my God, my time is over. God bless you.